Renewal by Andersen is ringing in the new year with a happy renewal year sale. Buy one, get one 40% off all replacement windows and doors. Plus, enjoy zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for 1 year. Renewal by Andersen's Acclaim Impact windows are built for Florida, designed to help you save on energy bills while keeping your home comfortable year-round. Sale ends January 31st. Restrictions apply. Visit bestwindowsflorida.com to schedule your free in-home consultation. License number CGC 1527613. Renewal by Andersen, where comfort meets savings.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone, they're gone for good. Society. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer cussing. Queens, $17.98. Kings, only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
Thank
to
you,
order,
Rick,
please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
Yes.
People love Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And they love to have turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But that's it. As soon as Thanksgiving, the day is over, they're done with the turkey. I love leftover turkey. We've been eating leftover turkey all week, and I love it. You know, we have platters. We have sandwiches. Mary made delicious turkey soup with the carcass. I'm sad that the poor beast is gone. I'm really sad the poor beast is gone. But I love leftover turkey, and yet there are some people that absolutely despise it. I just don't get those people.
Well, we do too. And we had, I think at last count, we had 18 for dinner. Mm-hmm. And so we got a 20-pound turkey thinking, yeah, we'll have some leftovers. We had enough for soup. We had the carcass.
Yeah.
We had two slices of turkey, enough for one turkey sandwich for 10. It's that. So we still have some soup left, but sadly our poor beast didn't go as far as we were hoping he would.
Sharon, does Ted like the light meat or the dark meat?
All of it. He's a turkey lover. It doesn't matter. The white meat is great for sandwiches. Mm-hmm. The dark meat is great when you have potatoes and gravy and dressing and everything on it. You know, he loves it all. Every bite of it. Even the gobble, I think.
Well, I don't. The gizzards, I'm not into those. Not into
oh,
the
he
gizzards.
He is. He and is. Not I into, have to fight yeah. him for him. Yeah.
Well, he can have my share. He can come over here and those went out to the kitty cats. You know, the kitty cats had Thanksgiving too. They enjoyed that. They enjoyed that. But you know, I love turkey. I wish we'd have it more than once a year. I really do. And
we sometimes do. If you can get that sale and do two for your sale at turkey time at Thanksgiving, then you have Thanksgiving again around Easter. You know, actually it's one of our favorite meals. So I try to squeeze it in for Christmas, for Easter, for, you know, whenever you've got a good excuse to invite a lot of folks over to enjoy turkey dinner. That's a good time to have that second turkey if you can get it. Unfortunately, we got one for 39 cents a pound, which is great. Not unfortunate. However, we only could have one. Only could have one. And they kept your phone number on file so that you couldn't go back and get another one. And that
you could have used my phone number, Sharon. You could have used my phone number. But that's a heck of a deal. Our problem, you know, Mary got like a 12-pound turkey. The problem is the storage in the refrigerator. We don't have a lot of room for storage in a and she has a small freezer, but again, she's got so many things packed in there. It's a storage problem, but I don't know. I like the dark meat. I really do. Mary likes the light meat. You know, it's same thing with chicken. I like the dark meat. She likes the light meat. So I guess that's why we're married. And that's why we get along. Poultry. Over poultry reasons, you know.
Over poultry.
Over poultry reasons. But I thoroughly, you know, we had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You know, it's today we had turkey soup and, oh, God, we're still enjoying it. Still enjoying it. Sharon, I'm glad you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope all our viewers and listeners had a wonderful Thanksgiving too. And now it's on to Christmas. Now it is on to Christmas. I spent the day, Sharon, repairing 10 strings of Christmas lights. Now, some people would say, why don't you just throw them away and go out and buy new ones? That's wasteful. In my opinion, that is wasteful. That is wasteful. And the ones that I worked on were really my favorite lights. And that's the icicle lights. I'm not even sure you can get them anymore, the icicle lights. I love them. And I, honest to God, I worked on them all day. Today was a great day to do it because it rained all day. There was nothing you could do outside. So today was an absolute perfect day. By the way, the house is all decorated. So we turned on all the Christmas lights in the house and we had Christmas music playing. And we, you know, I was working on the Christmas lights and we have a tree in every room of the house. So Mary was decorating one of the trees and it was an enjoyable day. It really was. Except that I probably replaced about 100 of those sockets. You know, those little sockets, pulling them out, getting a new bulb, straightening the filaments, getting those filaments in those two little holes exactly, getting the bulb in just right. So my thumbs, the ends of my thumbs are really, really sore from pulling those bulbs out of the socket. Some of them get really stuck, you know, but that was my day. That was my day.
Well, my day always starts with this show. What are we going to talk about on this show? Because you always say, what's on my radar? And, you know, I like to put things on my radar that are also on your radar. And rightly so. I think one of your hot buttons is illegal aliens, and it should be. This illegal run over our borders, this invasion, if you will, of our country should be on every American's mind because we are really vulnerable. And I guess it kind of took an interesting turn, if you will, when an illegal alien, this is amazing to me, an illegal alien purse snatched Christy Gnome's $4,000 Gucci bag. I mean, that's wow, isn't it? Isn't it? Wow. If you're going to grab a bag, I guess, if you're going to grab somebody's purse, might as well go for it, you know? She was a good target because he got the bag, which was $4,000. I don't, how do you, Christy, my goodness, you're making the bucks, girlfriend, if you can afford Gucci bags, right? $4,000 purses. Yeah. Okay, so first of all, it's a $4,000 purse, and she had $3,000 in cash in it.
Wow.
And he got her, and he took that purse while she was eating at Capital Burger with her family.
In Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C. And that was at Easter time. And they're just now getting around to this guy. Just now getting around to
What do you mean?
Him.
They just caught him, or he's now going to trial?
He's now going to trial. Finally facing up to, this will get you 3.5 years behind bars. That's the max. It's six, a fine of now $9,500. And potential restitution. Have you noticed there's something missing here? It does say that, okay, it says that since he was in the country illegally, he will likely be deported after he serves his time.
Oh, see, we talked about this last week, and you know,
yes.
Sharon, these people should not be rewarded by costing the taxpayers. It costs $50,000, $40,000 to $50,000 a year to keep somebody incarcerated in this country.
Right, and they didn't mention that as part of the restitution. He's going to pay restitution, but that's not part of it. Also, the other thing is that he had six stints behind bars, six times that he was in jail in Chile and mm-hmm. in the UK. So this is mm-hmm. What is our three strikes and you're out? This is a serial criminal. He's mm-hmm. not, this is not his first defense. He is known for this kind of stuff. He actually had done it again. He boosts her purse and he goes on and boosts somebody else's at another DC restaurant. So, and he has an accomplice that helps him with this. So it's just, it's that the beat goes on with these guys. He's a serial criminal. He's in the country illegally. He gets caught. Justice delayed is justice denied. Easter to Thanksgiving, he finally is going to go to court. And what does he face? A prison term of 6 months to 3.5 years on your dollar, Vic, on your dollar.
I know. It really annoys. The problem is, Sharon, this guy may go to jail for 3 years or 6 years. God forbid that we have a Democrat administration following Donald Trump. Because you know what that administration is going to do, Sharon? Pardon him. It's going to pardon him and let him stay here and probably pay him for the time that he spent in jail.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you say that and everybody goes, oh, Rick, you're just saying that. The next Democrat won't do that. Well, listen to this one. President Donald Trump shocked the world on Monday after confirming that former First Lady Michelle Obama used President Joe Biden's auto PIN to pardon people. How did
Michelle Obama use this?
Yes.
How in the world could that happen?
Obama get to the auto PIN to start signing pardons and? who does she pardon? This is just
Sharon, would you do me a favor? Sharon, let's hold this segment over. Let's hold this conversation over into the next segment because we're actually running long on this. And I want to hear more about how Michelle Obama got a hold of Joe Biden's auto pen. This has got to be a good one. And you are listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle. I'm Rick Trader, and today's show, like each and every one of our shows, being brought to you by the First Amendment, protected by the Second. Go nowhere. We'll pick up this conversation right after this break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever. With a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings, regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle. I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios and My Store Studios of the AUNTV network. Sharon, how in the world did Michelle Obama get a hold of Joe O'Biden's auto pen? I have a theory. I have a theory about it, Sharon. I've said ad nauseum for 4 years during that administration that Joe Biden was the puppet and Barack Obama was the puppet master. Now, Barack Obama was asked one time, would you like to serve the third term? He goes, well, he says, what I'd really like to do is I'd like to sit in my basement with my, in my sweats with the cell phone calling the shots. Boom. Now this news comes out that somehow, some way, Michelle Obama had access to the auto pen. You know, I saw the thing on Facebook, and I'm going to try to find it, that O'Biden pardoned roughly 8,000 people during his term. 8,000 people. Sharon, how many days did he serve in office? About 12, 1300? That's like six a day.
That's why you need an auto pen. Really, isn't it? You know, this is the thing that Trump shared on Truth Social, over 100 posts, but one of the posts that he shared was from Alex Jones, who's the InfoWars host, and he accused Michelle Obama of illegally using Biden's auto pen to issue pardons shortly before Trump's inauguration in January. So it looks like, and somebody said that it looks like everybody had access to that auto pen, that anybody that wanted to go in, that they could just use that auto pen. It was an open door policy, as one person put it. You know, you just go in and pardon the ones you want to pardon. So it was, you know, everybody was allowed to go in with their list, use the auto pen, and pardon them. That's how you get 8,000 pardons or more, is by allowing everybody that's your friend to go in and do whatever they wanted to, as far as that pardon ability was concerned. And Trump said that he was terminating every auto pen document that was signed by Joe Biden. So that's about 92% of the documents signed by Joe Biden were done with that auto pin. So he said if they were done by the auto pin, then you're done. That pardon is no longer in force and effect, because we don't, obviously we don't know who was using the auto pin. That came out a while back, but now we've got these pardons. And, you just kind of trip that little trigger when you said, of course, these illegal aliens are going to get pardoned. I went, now the question, right? How many of those 8,000 that got pardoned were illegal aliens? Let's, get back on track here with what brought this up in the first place, is that we've got an issue in this country. And everything seems to swirl around that. And how many of those 8,000 weren't here legally in the first place? This illegal alien thing is just completely out of control, Rick.
It is totally. Totally. And, Sharon, it is all the Democrats. This started not with Joe Biden, not with Obama, but it started with Clinton. Do you remember the disaster in Somalia?
And if we're going to be completely honest, Rick, it kind of started with Reagan. He was first one that said, oh, we'll just give amnesty to all these illegal aliens. Well, that opened the door on both sides of the aisle.
I agree. And that was one of the two mistakes that Trump made. I'm sorry, that Reagan made.
And he agreed. He said it was a huge mistake. And it was a huge mistake, because every president since then, and the Congress itself, has been going back to that order, that amnesty order, to say, just let them stay. They're not hurting anything here. We can take it. They're good for our economy, and on and on and on the excuse goes to why we don't have secure borders, why we have criminals in this country, and then, of course, why we pardon them. I mean, isn't that what amnesty is all about, is the pardon?
Sure is.
So here we go, 8,000 pardons. How many of those were just amnesty, basically?
And,
go ahead.
Before people go 8,000, well, what's the problem with that? Well, let me give you an idea of how outrageous this was. George Bush, in 8 years, pardoned 200. Barack Obama, in 8 years, pardoned 1,927.
That's
Donald
huge.
Donald Trump pardoned 1,700. So compare those numbers. Compare those numbers to Joe Biden. He's more than doubled all the other presidents combined.
4,000. I mean, four times. It's almost four times. 2,000 would be four times. Mm-hmm. And both Obama and Trump were under that 2,000 mark. So a little over four times as much. And this is how he did it, because he had an open door policy. Anybody could come in there, use the auto pin, and pardon anybody. So, you come with your list. You make an appointment for the auto pin and come with your list. That's what it sounds like, anybody and everybody. And, that just leads us to the bigger issue. The bigger issue is that we've got this criminal element. And we talked about that, this guy that nicks Chrissy Noem's purse. I mean, that is just audacious.
By the way, I have something. I have something to say about Chrissy Noem.
Uh huh.
If the idiot people had to elect a woman governor, why couldn't she look like Chrissy Noem? My comment about why couldn't the people of New Jersey elect somebody that looked like Chrissy Noem? They had to elect this horse face Mickey Sherrill.
Rick.
Yes, Sharon.
Rick.
Okay. Yes, Sharon.
I want to go on to New York City. I know they have election issues over there too, but they also have issues with their illegal aliens. Nearly 7,000 illegal aliens were released without even notifying ICE. And that's since the inauguration. So not even quite a year, 7,000 illegal immigrants have been put back on the street, and they didn't even tell ICE they were going to do it. Well, of course they didn't tell ICE they were going to do it, because if you tell ICE that you're going to release 7,000 criminals, they're just going to go and round them up. But, you know, the minute you release them, I would say that would be catch, release, and catch again. But that's, anyway.
What a waste of taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. What a huge waste of taxpayer money. Here are these people that were released. All right. Now the federal government has got to spend more money to round these 7,000 up again. And, you know, with New York City being a sanctuary city, with this new mayor coming into office January 3rd, it's going to be doubly, quadruply difficult to get these people. This is such a waste of taxpayer money.
Well, here's another thing about that. The feds are now demanding that the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, must guarantee that the 7,100 that they're still holding in custody, that are still in prison. See, she released 7,000. They had 7,000 more that we're still paying on in New York.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They need to end their sentences so that ICE can round them up and deport them. That's the next.
Well, Sharon, there's a way to pay for it. There is a way to pay for it, for the federal government to pay for it. What the federal government needs to do, put a 100% tax on all money transfers leaving this country. That'll stop the flow of money going to Mexico, Central America, South America, to Asia, to Africa. That'll stop it. And you know what? That'll stop a lot of these people that, for the reason they're here to work, to send money home. They'll go home on their own. But it's got to be done, Sharon. It's got to be done. A 100% tax on every money transfer leaving this country. That's how the federal government can pay for it. And that's how the federal government can get rid of some of these people. You know, Sharon, it would be different. It would be different if these people came to this country wanting to be Americans. Mm. If they wanted to assimilate into our society, become part of our community. No, what they want is they want us to change. The mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, who's a Muslim, says, you know what? You've got to become like us. Not us like you. You've got to become like us.
Right.
You know, Sharon, George and I were talking about this yesterday. And it's like this. Do you ever have a guest in your home, Sharon?
Yes.
All right. Now, when you have a guest in your home, you expect that guest to respect the home. You expect mm-hmm. that guest to respect Ted and Sharon. Mm-hmm. You expect that guest to respect your property.
Mm-hmm.
Not come in and put their feet up on the table, not to lay down on the couch, not to throw food around, not to use the dining room as an outhouse. You expect these people to respect. And what do you do, Sharon, if they can't respect the home? You tell them to get the hell out.
Yeah.
And if they don't get the hell out fast enough, you call the police. and you have them escorted out of your house.
Right.
And then if they come back, what you do, you have them arrested for trespassing.
Right.
You have them arrested for trespassing. You know, Sharon, did you ever have, you ever charge anybody with trespassing?
Yes, I have. It's a horrible, it's a horrible process.
Well, let me tell you something.
It's so hard to get from here to there, and it's not quick. You have to give them so many notices to get out.
Well, I had a different experience.
Mm.
You know, I had a brother-in-law that got drunk.
Oh.
Okay. And he and I got into a fight. Okay? And I beat the crap out of him. Well, a few days later, he showed up my door. He wanted a rematch. So I just called the police, and I had him arrested. And he had to go to court. And he is found guilty of trespassing. Well, that's how you treat somebody who doesn't respect you or doesn't respect your home or your property.
Right.
And that's what these illegals are. They're not coming here to become Americans. They're coming here to steal from our economy. They're coming here to bring their culture with them.
And to steal your Gucci
bag. They're coming here to bring their way of life here. And if their way of life was so damn good, why didn't they stay the hell where they were?
Well, one of these guys that they released, one of these 7,000 that they released, was a Crips gang member named Anderson Smith Satuye Martinez, who was arrested in August for criminal possession of a weapon and possession of a controlled substance. This guy's a bad actor, and they let him go. This is Letitia James. This is why we keep cranking about these people. They are not, you know, they were responsible for 148 homicides, 717 assaults.
These are the people she released?
Yes, 260 sexual offenses, 134 burglaries, and 235 dangerous drug offenses. That's who she released.
Oh, but she's worried about Donald Trump and the value that he puts on his property. While that pond scum lied about a mortgage on her house so she can get a more favorable tax rate.
Yeah. Well,
Karen,
at this point, we have to go to a break. But
yes, we do.
I've got you wound up, so don't lose the mind while we're on break.
And this is the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle. I'm Rick Trader. We'll be back with more news and commentary right after this break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever. With a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle. I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the My Store Studios of the AUNTV network. And Sharon, apparently Donald Trump is getting sick and tired of these federal judges dragging their heels to throw these illegals out of this country. Today it was announced that the Trump administration was firing 8 immigration judges in New York City. Now, why this is important is, according to all 8 judges, worked out of 26 Federal Plaza, the downtown Manhattan complex housing the city's main immigration court and local headquarters for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The National Association of Immigration Judges have confirmed the firings, while a Justice Department official also acknowledged the dismissals on conditions of anonymity. So here you go. Donald Trump is getting sick and tired of these judges dragging their heels and not doing their jobs, not deporting these people that have no business to be here in the first place. Good for Donald Trump.
What I think is fun is that the only pushback that we're getting for this is not, oh, you fired some great judges, or you chose the wrong ones, or why would you fire any judges? You know, they're good. They're the good guys. That's not what we're getting back. The pushback is, well, this is just going to stall the courts out a little longer because,
well, if they weren't doing their job in the first place, it doesn't matter.
Right. It takes so long to get your immigration case before a judge now, and with 8 less judges, it's going to take longer. That, you know, that in itself, that's the pushback, is kind of funny. They're not defending these judges. They're not saying these judges were doing their job. They're not defending anything that these judges did. They're just saying, oh, well, it's going to bog the courts down. Well, obviously, the courts were bogged down, as you pointed out. They were bogged down before these terminations. So, you know, we're not in any worse shape than we were before the firings happened. So, you know, give us something else to go on besides that. That, you know, that's, it doesn't matter, right? There was a bottleneck there before. They point out this bottleneck is 4 million pending cases. Why? Why that many? How did it get so bogged down in the first place that we've got 4 million pending cases? That means illegal immigrants living here illegally until their case comes up. 1 in 4 million? That's pretty good odds.
Mm-hmm. To me, it's impossible to expect that through the courts, through the actions of ICE, and by the way, there's going to be an additional 10,000 ICE officers take to the streets in January. However, we've got to have these people deport themselves. And the way you do it is you make it so impossible for them to stay here. I said this before. Find people that give these illegals jobs. $250,000 for each individual they hire that's here illegally. Fine anybody who rents them a place to stay, $250,000 per family. You've got to stop them from being able to work. You've got to stop them from having a place to live. You've got to stop the money transfers. They'll go home on their own. I swear to God, Sharon, they won't stay here. They will go home on their own. This is what needs to happen. There's no way. You know, Sharon, they talk about 20 million. I think it's probably double that. Judging from where I go shopping, it seems to me, and I'm talking about Walmart, the supermarket, and Home Depot, I think I'm in a foreign country, Sharon. And you can tell by the looks, you can tell by listening to these people talk, that they are here illegally. They have no business here. They need to go home. They need to self-deport. And I said this before, and are you tired of me saying that what Kristi Noem needs to say, what Donald Trump needs to say to these people? You got 60 days to report to your court. And then you've got 30 more days after that to finalize your affairs and go home. And if you're not out by the end of that 30 days, you're never going to be able to come to this country legally again. Sharon, it's one more. It's that time once again. We do need to take a break. Yes, again. And you are listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos. I'm Rick Trader. My co-host is Sharon Angle. Sharon and I will be back right after this break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings, regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle, and I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the My Store Studios of the AUNTV network. Well, Sharon, it didn't plan to be this way, but it seems like it today is a theme show on immigration. What else you got for us?
Well, we've got Donald Trump. He didn't stop at firing the judges. He went back and he not only accused Minnesota Democrats of allowing small migration to spiral out of control and going after Tim Walz and Ilhan Omar specifically for allowing this complete takeover, but he has now given two directives focused on the Somalis, final deportation orders, and he's saying that they should get out, that they're going after them. They're not going to let this thing slide in. They're not going to let Omar and Tim Walz work around the ICE strike teams. They're going in and they're rounding them up. So it's a good thing. You know, we wondered how that would happen, if that was going to be something that they would do, that they would actually go in and get them after he said he was going to. Well, it looks like, yes, they are. So it's a good thing that we're going after them in Minnesota. He said that Minnesotans, actually the federal prosecutor said that Minnesotans are losing faith in their social programs, and he warned that continued fraud would destroy public support for the very systems designed for vulnerable residents. Well, it's this kind of corruption that has caused Donald Trump to say that Minnesota is the hub of fraudulent money laundering activity, and that these perpetrators need to be sent back where they came from. So he has revoked temporary protective status for 700 Somali nationals. That seems like a drop in the bucket to me, Rick.
Sure, when there's close to 100,000 of them in Minnesota, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, so he, you know, they're crying over this, but it's a place to start. And they've got the prosecution, so I'd say they had their day in court, right? They've charged 86 people so far with 59 convictions. So those 59 should be gone as far as this order is concerned. They don't have temporary protective status and they should be gone. You know, he's right. He's right to go after these Somalis. They've done it. Mm-hmm. And they are criminals and they're convicting him. And I'm just sorry it's only 700. Right?
Well,
sorry,
what they should 700. Do, they should give these people an option. Either they go to jail here or they voluntarily deport themselves. And they know and they can never come here again. And they should have felony, and they should accept the felony conviction. Again, I don't want these people in American jails. I don't want the taxpayer to be paying $50,000 a year to house these people. You know, let's send them to Costa Rica where the, you know, we can keep them in prison for a lot less.
Well, you know, this whole thing started with the shutdown. Got to looking into what's going on in the programs that we were shutting down. And of course, the big cry from the left was, oh no, they're not going to get their food stamps, their SNAP, their Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Babies and mothers are going to go hungry because of this shutdown. Well, they started looking into it and they found, of course, the Somali connection, which is just waste, fraud, and abuse over there in this exact program, the SNAP thing. But here's another thing they found out, that thousands of liquor stores and smoke shops are approved retailers under SNAP.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so they found more than 5,000 of these establishments can accept food stamps, creating the opportunity
Wonderful.
For fraud and diverting the assistance from these programs into places that they shouldn't be assisting, right? You don't give a guy $5 on the street because, if he asks for food, you go down and buy him a hamburger, not give him a $5 bill, because you know that $5 bill is going to go over to the liquor store or the smoke shop and feed his addiction. And that's not what you want to do, is help that out in the least. And so here we have a government program that has 5,000 of these these places. 4,000 were approved stores that had alcohol in their name. So it's not even, you know, like here in Nevada, you can buy hard liquor at Walmart. You can. But it doesn't say Walmart alcohol store. It doesn't say that in its logo up front.
Right.
You can also buy cigarettes there, but it's not a smoke shop. But these shops that are SNAP approved, FGA approved, they have alcohol in their name and they reference tobacco products in their name. 1,000 of them do. So there's no doubt about what they're selling in there, and there's no doubt that they're on the approved list of SNAP places that you can buy products. So even if you go in with your SNAP and say you buy, I don't know, with your SNAP card, you're saving that money to buy those other products. your money.
Sharon, it's not just the illegals that are taking advantage of this. Mm. There are a lot of Americans.
That's right.
Born in this country that also do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm glad you mentioned that because North Carolina, there was a grocery store in 2018 where there were $200,000 of fraud in that SNAP situation. In a Virginia store, they had $1.5 million in SNAP benefits that they trafficked. And that was a conviction. That store owner got 20 years in jail for that fraud.
Every single one of them that deal in this fraud that mm-hmm. accepts SNAP for things like cigarettes and alcohol, or let's put it this way, candy and soda. You know, there's an obesity problem in America, Sharon. Okay, 40% of Americans are obese. And by the way, you know what I told Mary I wanted for Christmas? Liposuction. There is an obesity problem in it, Sharon, in this country, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
These people, they don't work. They sit around and they eat. By and large, they eat the wrong thing. Now, I'm guilty of that too, but I'm not on SNAP. I'm not on food stamps.
Okay, so the expenditures in the SNAP program, in the food stamp program, in 2000 were $17.1 billion. That's in 2000, 25 years ago, $17.1 billion. Today, 2025, it's $100 billion. So over 25 years, it's gone up almost 10 times.
It's incredible,
much.
Sharon. It is time for break.
Mm-hmm.
And after this break, we're going to be playing some of the best of interviews here on the Conservative Commandos. I'm Rick Trader, my co-host is Sharon Angle. Don't go away. We'll be back with those interviews right after this break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings, regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show with Sharon Angle and yours truly, Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the MyStore Studios of the AUN-TV network. And Sharon, a great friend of the show, is with us, and please make that introduction.
Well, I'm pleased to introduce Hans von Spakovsky, who is an authority on a wide range of issues, including civil rights, civil justice, First Amendment, immigration, the rule of law, and government reform. As a senior legal fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, his analysis and commentary appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Times Political Human Events, National Review Online, and Town Hall. Along with John Fund, he is the co-author of Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk and Obama's enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. His newest book is Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. Mons, welcome back to the Conservative Commandos radio show.
Well, you all are gluttons for punishment. You keep inviting me back.
It's not punishment. It's great news. And in fact, you've written another great article. The swamp can scream, but Doge is on a lawful path to success. Glad to hear that, Hans. Because every day is a new day over there at Doge. It seems like now they've got 8 more agencies. They're saying you don't need to be in the existence. And you're saying you go for it. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, there's been almost 24 lawsuits filed against Doge, against Elon Musk, and almost all of them so far have been unsuccessful. The only success they've really had have been some orders from judges saying that while Doge and Elon Musk are looking at and investigating particular federal agencies, they're not entitled to get personalized information. Well, they're not looking for personalized information. They don't want the name of an individual social security number, for example. What they're asking for is things like, well, how many individuals are there who are getting social security benefits in total, but who are over, you know, 150 years old? I mean, that's the kind of questions they're asking, and there's no personal information there. So from the standpoint of Trump and Donald Trump and the president, they're really being successful in defeating these lawsuits that are trying to stop them from being able to do anything.
And that's good news for all of us. It seems like there's huge savings here if we can just get a handle on it. The exposure itself is shocking, but how do we get to the place where all of this money comes back into the general fund or even to pay off the debt?
Well, so far from what we've been able to gather in our article when we were researching it, over $100 billion has already been saved by canceling contracts, canceling grants, and other payouts of the money. You know, the other big thing that Doge has been pushing, which again is such common sense, is that they discovered that the Treasury Department, and of course, that's where all the money payouts go, no matter what agency it is, wasn't really keeping track of these payments. They were making payments without any notations on, what appropriation from Congress authorized this payment. You know, there wasn't anything like that, which is just would be standard accounting practices. And, you know, critics were criticizing even that. The idea that the government would actually closely monitor who it's actually paying money out to. Sharon, I think that's an indication of why we are seeing such protests from the liberal world, from so-called NGOs, is because they don't want the public to know that they are getting these kind of funds and how much they're getting and what they're doing with it.
It looks great when you say savings, but this sounds like it's almost something that was ill-gotten gain, fraudulent. Something kind of criminal went on with some of these things. I mean, obviously, the oldest person living is not 150 years old, so anybody getting Social Security checks that's over that age of even 120, there's something going on that's criminal there, isn't there? I mean, aren't we entitled as a citizenry to have this come back, even have these payments reimbursed if we can?
Well, look, that's true. But look, that kind of thing is stuff that they ought to have. And Elon Musk and others have spoken about this. Look, one of the advantages of AI, artificial intelligence, is why does the Social Security Administration not have automatic programs inside its databases that do things like if an individual is getting Social Security payments above a certain age, they check other databases to ensure that the person is still alive? You know, the Social Security Administration has what they call a master death index, right? This is supposed to contain death records from all over the country. And I wonder, well, how closely are they using that database to actually check Social Security payments? I mean, that's the kind of thing that Doge is looking at, and anyone who opposes that, I mean, it's like they want taxpayer funds to be wasted.
So we're really not looking for criminals at this point. We're looking for why are we bleeding and why isn't something being done? And there is a mechanism already in place to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Look, the other big objection to Doge and Elon Musk is we've had people saying, one of the judges, for example, speculated. Well, that Elon Musk ought to have to be confirmed by the Senate. Well, no, he doesn't. He's not an official government employee. He's simply someone who's giving advice and recommendations to the president. And the president can ask for advice and recommendations from anyone he wants to, including the three of us. If the president asked us to take a look at various federal agencies and give him his recommendations, he could do that. The actual directives of action that then are taken are being ordered by Donald Trump, the president. And he obviously has the authority to order particular agencies to take those actions, relying on the advice that Elon Musk and Doge is giving him.
Okay, so there's 23 lawsuits out there. Is there one that says you can't fire government employees after they've worked so long and so hard? You just can't do it. You know, I'm hearing a lot of sympathy for these poor government employees that are working from home. We don't know if they've been doing work. We don't know how long they've been doing that work. You know, they just ask for a little accountability and the thing just kind of blew up. And now I'm hearing all this sympathy. Is there really a place for sympathy there? And if there is, what does that amount to? And do they have something going on to fight that?
Well, look, I may have sympathy individually for someone who had a federal job and lost it, but we have to look at the overall picture. And the overall picture is that the country is deeply in debt. We have a huge deficit, and the major reason for that is too much spending by the federal government. And that includes having too many federal employees. You know, when you have over 2 million federal employees, I think there's over 16 million federal contractors, those numbers are larger than the populations of many states. And the idea that somehow it's going to cause a huge problem in the United States if 50,000 federal employees lose their jobs, if 100,000 federal employees, that's a tiny percentage of the entire federal workforce. But it's a start on trying to bring government spending, particularly by the federal government, under control. And yeah, while that may hurt some individual employees, the country overall is going to be better off for it.
And they're really not asking them for their job. They're saying, come back to work. That's kind of what I was getting from it, that a lot of these people are just saying, come back to work. We want to see your face and we want to know what you did this week.
Right. Well, there haven't been any lawsuits about that. you know, there was a report out that 96% of government offices were empty because so many people were working remote. And no one has tried to sue saying there's something wrong with the president ordering people to come to work. Even making a claim like that, even that was apparently too embarrassing for the unions that represent these public employees. So they're just complaining about it. The lawsuits have been about the actual firings. And we just got, I think, a bad order from a judge saying that all the probationary employees who have been let go have to be rehired. I think that is a violation of the president's constitutional authority over the executive branch. And I have no doubt the Justice Department will appeal it, and hopefully that district court judge's opinion will be overturned.
Well, I hope so, too. I guess I'm going now to the Department of Education. She seems to be really going through it and doing exactly what the president tasked her to do, but there's a lot of squealing out here about that. Has the union... the NEA, the AFT, have they filed a lawsuit saying, no, she can't do that because these teachers have tenure or these employees that she's going after there in the Department of Education have some kind of right to be there?
Yeah, but see, that brings up the issue that is going to end up before the U.S. Supreme Court, which is that you know, Congress has put in all kinds of protections for civil servants, all kinds of restrictions on the ability to fire people working for the federal government. The Trump administration is pushing back on that and saying that violates the Constitution. The president is the chief executive under the Constitution. Therefore, he has control of the executive branch. And any restrictions put in by Congress on his ability to hire and fire individuals is a violation of the Constitution. That is the theory that is going forward in many of these cases, and it's eventually going to get to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're going to make a decision on this, which is one of the most important issues when it comes to controlling the size of the federal government.
I agree, and it seems like we have that in place with at-will employees, but when we're going down into the internal workings of a department, it seems like there's this pushback there.
Yes.
Not so fast.
No, so, that's very true, Sharon, and that's one of the problems in this city.
In this city. You know, Rick has this theory that they all shouldn't be working in that city. They should be working in cities closer to their constituency, possibly Nome, Alaska.
Well, I think all these departments should be moved very close to the Arctic Circle. And all these probationary employees that they have to hire back say, yeah, your job's here, yes, but, and Sharon has heard this before and she's going to throw something at me, but all these departments and agencies should be moved to Nome, Alaska. But that's just me.
Well, how about, actually, Greenland is further north. So if the president,
Greenland,
if the president
Panama,
Greenland, that might be the place.
Panama.
Yeah, well, Greenland has a lot of open spaces for people, doesn't it?
It does.
And so we're on that edge again. We need to go to a commercial break. We are coming to you from the Conservative Commandos Radio Network studios and around the world on the internet with TalkStream Live, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, NetTalk America, and AM FM 24/7. I'm Sharon Engel here with my co-host, Rick Trader, and we've been talking with our special guest, Hans von Spakovsky, who's an authority on a wide range of issues. He's also the senior legal fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, and we've been talking about the swamp. The swamp can scream, but DOGE is on a lawful path to success. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings, regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show with Sharon Engel and yours truly, Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the MyStore Studios of the AUNTV network. Our guest this segment is Hans von Spakovsky. He's an authority on a wide range of issues, including civil rights, civil justice, the First Amendment, immigration, rule of law. And he's a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And we're discussing an article that Hans wrote with Seth Lucas, "The Swamp Can Scream, But DOGE is on a Lawful Path to Success." And that's great news for everybody. Hans, thank you for holding through that break. We really do appreciate your time. You know, Hans, the question that I think everybody should be asking, what has taken a president, a leader, so long to comprehend something like DOGE? I know Bill Clinton talked about it. He really didn't do anything about it. Clinton didn't do anything about it. No, none of the Bushes did anything about it. What took so long?
Well, you just haven't had a president who was willing to confront the swamp, the huge bureaucracy that has built up, the huge numbers of so-called independent agencies, which have been acting as if they're not accountable to the president. I mean, prior presidents just weren't willing to take the steps that Trump has taken. And I think part of this is, look, he didn't take major steps like this. He did take some baby steps in his first term, but that first term, he found out just how bad the resistance is inside the federal bureaucracy. The 4 years out of office, the 4 years in which that bureaucracy was doing everything it could to attack him, it not only taught him important lessons, but it gave him the fortitude and the energy and the willingness to go after that bureaucracy, which is a good thing for the American people.
This may surprise some of our listeners and viewers, especially those who know me as the head of the AUN-TV network. I do watch other channels. And last night, I think it was, I was watching Fox, and they had a reporter go through HUD, Housing and Urban Development, with the new secretary of HUD. And he was showing how bare the place was. And out of 2,200 employees that work at HUD, there were 47 there that day. 47.
Right.
I mean, so when you talk about, you know, they talk about government shutdowns and non-essential employees, it seems to me you can make an argument that the entire Department of HUD can be eliminated because they don't show up. I don't know who even accounts for the work that they do. You know, apparently there's no one there. Nobody. Supervisors, nobody. So who's to know what work there's doing? Shut the whole department down. I mean, isn't this a great argument for what Donald Trump and Elon Musk is saying, that we got to get rid of some of these departments?
Oh no, I agree. And I mean, to take another one, as you know, they're really working on doing that with the Department of Education. And for anyone who says, oh my gosh, education will suffer, well, there was no Department of Education until the Jimmy Carter administration. And even today, there is not a single K-12 school, and there's not a single college anywhere in the nation that is run by the federal government. All you have is now a federal agency trying to regulate all those schools, all those colleges, putting in all kinds of layers of red tape, when what ought to happen, very simply, is that the federal funds that Congress appropriates, rather than a huge percentage of it being wasted at the Department of Education, it ought to just be block granted to the states so that state governments and local boards of education can decide how best to use that federal funding for the education of their children. Why put in this middleman in between?
No idea. Hans, I wish that Joe Biden would come back to Washington and give a little advice to all these RIFT government employees. The same advice that he gave to the oil workers, and that was learn code. Learn code. But seriously, why can't the same thing be done, DOGE's aims, through attrition? How long would it take through attrition to achieve a lot of the goals and aims that DOGE is going after?
It would take a long time. I mean, people hang on to these federal jobs for the reason that, look, I don't doubt there are some federal employees who work hard and do a lot of work. But there are many federal jobs that they're very easy, they don't have a lot of duties, and yet the benefits are tremendous. You know, the average federal employee makes more in money, salary, and benefits than the average American in private industry. So people hang on to these jobs, and they're not going to retire because, again, federal retirement, federal pensions are also extremely rich. So attrition, yeah, it does happen. People retire and leave, but that would be way too slow to make the kind of significant changes that we need to make.
You know, Hutch, you've been down in the swamp for quite a while, working at the Heritage Foundation, working at the Justice Department. But have you ever seen the courts so busy? It seems like there's lawsuits flying everywhere to stop the flights, to turn the flights around, to release these terrorists, as Donald Trump called, to rehire people, to pay out money. Have you ever seen lawsuits fly like this?
No. I mean, there have been more injunctions issued by these federal judges in just 2.5 months than I think during the entire 4 years of the Biden administration. And almost all of these orders should not have been issued. Nationwide injunctions by federal district court judges. People need to realize there are over 90 federal districts in the country. So federal judges in one of those districts, their jurisdiction is very limited. You know, you get a judge in Manhattan, a federal judge in Manhattan, and he's issuing orders to the federal government down in Washington, D.C. And the nationwide injunctions, the Supreme Court has set out very strict rules on those. They are only deserved under very limited and restricted circumstances. And yet these judges are just willy-nilly granting them. So you have a lot of out-of-control judges. In fact, the same way we have a problem with a bureaucratic swamp in the executive branch, we now have a problem with an imperial judiciary and judges who think they have more power than the elected president of the United States and can overrule the elected president of the United States.
It's incredible. You know what's always frustrated me about Republicans, Hans, is they're not more litigious. They're not more like the Democrats. Like, where were all the lawsuits to stop Joe Biden from opening our borders? Where were all the lawsuits stopping governments from spending and wasting money? But it seems like when we finally get somebody who's trying to clean up the swamp, who's trying to cut federal spending, who's trying to secure our borders and make our cities safe, there's a real problem now. And all the Democrat Party can do is fund lawyers to go judge shopping. I mean, seriously, Hans, what seemingly is good for the goose should be good for the gander. And the lack of Republican lawsuits, that drives me crazy too.
Well, the one thing I would say about that, Rick, is that actually we had a lot of very good conservative attorney generals, state attorney generals in red states during the Biden administration who were suing over this. I mean, the best example was, remember, we had a number of states suing the president over the fact that he came out and said, oh, I'm forgiving all student loans. You don't have to pay them back. And that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court actually said, Joe Biden, you don't have the power to do that. Of course, you remember what the reaction was of Joe Biden. He, in essence, said, well, I'm not going to abide by that Supreme Court decision. I don't recall liberals saying that that was causing a constitutional crisis. Do you?
No, nor when Barack Obama refused to defend the right of marriage. You know, that didn't go anywhere either. Hans, when are these suits going to be settled? When is the Supreme Court going to step in? Or do you expect the Supreme Court to step in?
Yeah, I think a lot of these cases, look, many of these cases, while they're on different issues, all have the same legal issue, which is how far does the power of the president extend over the executive branch? So, yeah, I think that issue is going to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. When is that going to happen? It may be months before that happens, but the thing is, the Justice Department under Pam Bondi is fiercely fighting and defending these cases, and they are appealing these decisions by these federal district court judges. And once they get decisions from courts of appeal, if it's adverse, they will go to the U.S. Supreme Court. So I suspect some of these decisions, I mean, we're already in March. The Supreme Court's term ends in June. I guess it's possible that one case could move fast enough through the process to get to the court before then. But I suspect many of them, it'll be this fall before we get final decisions.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Hans, we see these lawsuits trying to stop Donald Trump from locking up and sending out these criminals, these violent criminals, these murderers and rapists. I expect that it's going to get worse, especially if Donald Trump tries to deport anybody who came here illegally, but is not a felon. Do you see where I'm going? That right. When that starts to happen, what we've seen up to now is probably nothing compared to the lawsuits that will take place then.
That is true. I think we'll see even more lawsuits on the illegal alien issue. But I have to tell you, when it comes to that, the law is on Trump's side. I mean, immigration law gives the president enormous power. And so even if we get district court judges issuing injunctions and saying you can't do that, again, I think when it gets to the Supreme Court, they have in the past been very much on the side of the president when he's exercising his powers under federal immigration law.
Well, Hans, I hear you, but two names concern me, John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett. We never know what they're going to do, if they're going to follow the Constitution or follow their heart. I don't know. I'm very concerned. Hans, we want to thank you for joining us here in the Conservative Commandos, but before you go, give us the 411, how people can read the articles that you write, how they can get your books, how they can find out more about the Heritage Foundation.
Sure. Well, they can read my articles at heritage.org or often at the Daily Signal, which is the electronic newspaper. And my books are all available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Hans, again, thank you so much for joining us. Take care and God bless.
Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle. I'm Rick Drader. Mark Lamb from the College Fix is going to join us. We're going to find out what's the latest happenings on the college campuses across America. Go nowhere. We'll be right back.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever. With a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset. Queen $17.98, King's only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle, and I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the MyStore Studios of our own AUNTV network. And Sharon, there's always so much in the news going on the college campuses, at the universities. I'm so glad that we've connected with our next guest that can give us the straight scoop. So Sharon, please make that introduction.
Well, I'm pleased to introduce Matt Lamb, who's the associate editor for the College Fix. He also writes for LifeSite News, AMAC Newsline, and Human Life Review. He's written for the Washington Examiner and Headline USA, and he previously worked for Students for Life of America, Students for Life Action, and Turning Point USA, along with Open the Books. The College Fix regularly trains students and helps them find jobs in media with alumni at Fox News, The Daily Wire, Washington Examiner, National Review, and a host of other publications. Matt, welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
Well, it's always our pleasure to have you here, and it's especially a pleasure for me because I love hearing about these college campuses getting excited about freedom again. You know, just the things that are happening there say it's not the same old anymore. Let's start out with some of the stories that your reporters on these campuses have been bringing to us. Fire professors who oppose gender-affirming care, Harvard faculty chair says. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So Professor Timothy McCarthy, which I can't get over how his last name is actually McCarthy. He wants people fired that don't agree with him. But he said that people who oppose what is called gender-affirming care, which means transgender drugs and surgeries that make someone look like the opposite sex, he said they should be fired and lose their academic titles, and that there's a particular place in hell for people who support this. So the background is, there are several professors at New York University who are involved with groups that take a more psychological counseling approach to gender dysphoria, which for a long time was the approach. Much like, you know, I think great analogy is much like anorexia and bulimia, we don't tell those people, no, you actually are overweight. You actually, you know, are eating too much. We try to get to those core issues, anxiety, depression, perhaps abuse. So these professors they teach social work and counseling, and they're involved in counseling and social work to help people with these mental illnesses. And Professor McCarthy was interviewed, and he basically says they should be gone. If you're involved with groups that don't, you know, support, I guess, cutting off healthy organs, injecting kids with hormones, taking girls and injecting them with hormones so they grow facial hair at 16, then you should be fired. And unfortunately, this is sort of actually a common mindset at Harvard. The College Fix has covered, among not just the faculty, but also the students, efforts to cancel people. There are actually so few declared conservatives at Harvard that the student newspaper had to go get Harvey Mansfield, who's 92 years old, and bring him back out of retirement to have a conservative writer on the student newspaper. Now, look, I liked his, I read his translation of The Prince when I was at Loyola, but it's pretty sad, you know, the bench is pretty empty for outspoken conservatives, that they have to find someone who is in his 90s and retired to have someone who's willing to share his views at Harvard. And this should be no surprise. Just to give a few examples, several years ago, as the College Fix covered, Harvard canceled a course on innovative policing that was helping Springfield, Massachusetts. This was led by a professor who was an engineer. He was an Army, I believe he was a colonel. He had a commendations. I think he won the Bronze Star. And they were working with this Springfield to clean it up and to use these techniques to bring the community together to work with law enforcement so everyone could live safely and businesses could thrive. And basically, far-left activists got the course canceled. I believe the dean who oversaw that cancellation, I think he's now at University of Pennsylvania. I'm not actually not positive, but this happens. There was a law professor who faced cancellation because he wrote a paper questioning forced prostitution during World War II in Japan. The Harvard student newspaper, there was a survey that found, I think it's only like 1% of the professors there are conservative. And the student newspaper said that's not a problem because maybe among the 82% liberal faculty, there's a diversity of views. The Institute of Politics dumped Representative Elise Stefanik for raising objections to the integrity of the 2020 election. I could go on for hours with just examples of Harvard's echo chamber, but it's no surprise this person who's a faculty chair, this isn't some random adjunct or the janitor, this is a faculty chair who has a position of authority, and is just one of countless examples of professors who oppose academic freedom. And that's why the great William F. Buckley said that academic freedom is a myth, because professors actually don't support academic freedom. It's something they cry when they say something crazy on Twitter, but in reality, most professors, I don't believe, actually support free and open debate.
Well, I have a good friend who's a Harvard alum, And his son is going to Auburn, even though he has a legacy to Harvard. He said, I can't send my son there, and I can't donate to their alumni group anymore. I wonder how that is settling in. Along with, I wonder how the Trump executive order that says no more federal funding for you if you don't back off of these DEI policies. So how was that going to affect that faculty chair? He's going to have an issue, isn't he?
Well, you know, it won't necessarily affect him unless he's involved in those programs. I do think that one of the benefits of President Trump's orders on DEI is that it will help universities have a cover for cutting some of the more woke programming. So it may not particularly affect this professor, but I do think it could help change the atmosphere if these universities actually do roll back DEI and things like white privilege training. And at a minimum, I think President Trump has brought this issue to the forefront about how a lot of these programs are useless and they teach a lot of bad ideas. So that could be a positive benefit from Trump's orders.
And I think that it's really important to the university and college system in America that he did make that he did raise that, because almost all of your articles have something to do DEI. This next one, black employee reports black peer for saying tone it down. You know, that's a freedom of speech issue right there, but it's this idea that everybody has a right to say something until you say something I don't agree with.
Yeah, and this is actually a great example of why transparency in government is needed, because what we did is we filed a public records request, colloquially called a FOIA, right, for these biased reporting complaints for the University of Maryland. And originally the school told us, they just gave us a very brief summary, employee reported employee for racist comment. But then I said, well, you have to actually give me more details. And it turns out it was a black employee reporting another black employee for saying, tone it down. And this sort of reporting on one another and snitching on one another happens on a lot of college campuses. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court recently declined to take up a challenge to these bias response teams, as was brought against Indiana University's bias response team, which, funny enough, the president, Pamela Whitten, has actually been reported twice to her own bias team. Once for not sufficiently acknowledging Hispanic Heritage Month, and then another time for using police to clear this pro-Palestinian encampment. Now, it's not clear if this happens at the University of Maryland, but we do know, for example, that sometimes, for example, at Indiana University, students can be reported to these systems. It's placed on their record, and they're not told what the charges are, and they have no way to defend themselves. So this student, all that was in his file was it said something like, student made an offensive comment in class. When was the class? He wasn't told. Who accused him? What was the comment? He wasn't told. But it seems that he actually lost out on a campus job because of this anonymous complaint that he had it's like the classic, when did you stop beating your wife? He had no way to defend himself. You know, it's just, did you make a biased complaint? And so this continues to be an issue. But what's funny, to tie together our last story and your question about DEI, is that these are put together by universities. Many of these faculty support DEI, but then a lot of times they're reported. There was a pro-DEI professor at the University of Minnesota who bragged about how the philosophy department wasn't just hiring white males. And then she was reported to the bias team for a comment she wrote in a Washington Post essay where she used the phrase pinata of shame. And the idea was that her dad had made a New Year's resolution to learn Spanish. And I guess the idea was it was something he was always swinging at and was missing. And it was his pinata of shame. And then he just gave up on it. He moved on to other goals. So these pro-DEI professors support these woke initiatives, and then they end up getting reported to them. So there is a bit of poetic justice in it.
Well, it sounds like they may also get lawsuits. So there's a student suing Colorado University at Boulder after an investigation for identity politics criticism. What's that one about?
Yeah, so Zoe Johnson is involved in Young Americans for Freedom, which is a great conservative student group. But sort of separate from that, but they're helping her. She was investigated by the school's Office of Institutional Equity and Compliance, which is just its DEI office, for several comments. And one comment was they were in choir class, which I don't know why they were doing this anyways. They were learning about LGBT history. And she said, I thought we just did this back in June. Because what your listeners may or may not know is there's a LGBT Pride Month, and then there's also an LGBT History Month. She had also made a comment several years prior, basically saying that she doesn't like the idea of white privilege because she thinks we should just treat people based on who they are, right? Not on their class characteristics. And then she also was hauled into the DEI office because someone was wearing a do-rag, and she just didn't know, like, what it was, and she just asked someone, what is that? Not in any rude way, just sort of, like, out of curiosity. So ultimately, she was let off without a punishment, but she's suing because she's saying, like, I could be punished in the future, my friends can be punished in the future just for challenge, you know, just for saying I don't agree with white privilege. And that's completely her free speech right, especially just in a private conversation to say, this was a quote, I don't care about your identity, I care more about what you have to say as a person more than how you look, which I think is a great standard for treating people. Like, what are your views? How do you act? Not how do you look? I think that's actually a great way to treat people. It's actually the least racist, least sexist way to treat one another.
That's exactly right. And we're going to treat our Conservative Commandos radio show sponsor with that same, we love his character qualities. So we're going to go and give him an opportunity to express himself here on our show. We are coming to you from the Conservative Commandos Network studios around the world on the internet with TalkStream Live, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, NetTalk America, and AM FM 24/7. I'm Sharon Engel, and I'm here with my co-host, Rick Trader. We've been talking with our special guest, Matt Lamb, who's the associate editor for the College Fix. He's been talking to us about several articles that students write about college life and what's going on there. You won't want to miss the next segment.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever. With a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset. Queen $17.98, King's only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos radio show with Sharon Engel and yours truly, Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow studios, the MyStore studios of the AUNTV network. So what's coming up on the AUNTV network tonight? Well, how about the Stone Zone with Roger Stone, where Dinesh D'Souza's podcast, the Joe Messina Show, More Money with Stephen Moore, James O'Keefe Media, Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, Colonel Alan West, Steadfast and Loyal. Hey, all those great shows are part of the AUNTV network. So as they say, don't change that channel. And I want to thank our guest for sticking with us. And he is Matt Lamb. He's the associate editor for the College Fix. And we're discussing some of the articles and issues that the College Fix highlights. And hey, Matt, thank you for holding through that break. We appreciate your time. I know in the start of the interview today, Sharon went through some of the things that you've written for quite a few different publications, but I wanted you to, if you could, take a minute or two and tell our audience a little bit more about the College Fix and your aims and goals and things like that.
Absolutely. So the College Fix has two goals. that go together. So our main goal is to train the next generation of center-right, conservative, libertarian journalists. And so we've placed a lot of students, or a lot of students, alumni have gotten hired at Reason Magazine, National Review, Daily Wire, Fox News, Washington Examiner. I know Sharon's read it. We read those, some of those names at the beginning. And then the other part of it that is related is we train students to write about higher education news. So all the basics of good journalism that I think unfortunately are lost a lot today. So asking questions, trying to advance a story, filing public records requests, looking up courses, seeking commentary, editing. And so that's what a lot of what I do every day is I work with about 25 to 30 students at any one time. We have three other full-time editors that are also working with students. So we work with probably 125 or more students a
wow.
year. We also offer, so it's really nice is we pay students to write for us. And we also offer for some of our best students or just other college students, even if they don't write for us, paid fellowships. So those are basically full-time internships for 3 months or so, basically lining up with a semester at a lot of those places we mentioned, generally places in DC, but sometimes locally. So the main goal of the College Fix is to train the next generation. So our slogan, I should say, is breaking campus news, launching media careers. One kind of cool initiative that I think I mentioned last time is our Restore the Media video series. And if you go to the College Fix YouTube channel, or actually we're on Rumble as well, every week we post new episodes. So we have 5 up so far, and then we'll have more content later throughout the next couple months. And this is with some big names, Tucker Carlson, John Stossel, Britt Hume, Mary Margaret Olhan, Charlie Gasparino, many others. And it's basically going through, is journalism a good career? Why are so many journalists liberal? And our really goal is to find new student journalists, but also just bring attention to these issues. And so you can find that if you go to YouTube, Rumble, or if you go to thecollegefix.com, in the top right-hand corner, you can see it, you can subscribe, you can watch the recent episodes. And so, yeah, that's what we do every day. We put out something like 150 articles a month, and we have a relatively
wow.
small team. So some of that's our original reporting. Other reporting is reading other news sites, finding trends, finding stories, using different sources, press releases, student newspapers to cover everything in higher education. So I know we talk about a lot on this show, but anything to do with DEI, Israel, Hamas, relating to campus, students for justice mm-hmm. in Palestine, free speech, pro-life issues, climate change, university spending, feminism, wacky courses, trends in higher education. And we really try to serve essentially as the wire service for other news sites. So, I like to think that I just want these stories out there. So if we cover a story and then a big platform picks it up and it gets more coverage, that's great. For me, it's more about just the cause of getting the stories out there than necessarily the personal fame for myself or one of our other editors.
Matt, with all your success at placing your alumni like Fox News, Daily Wire, Washington Examiner, National Review, how come there's nothing there like Politico, Reason, The Atlantic, CNN, MSNBC? Have you ever gotten any of your students placed in the liberal outlets?
Yeah, so we have alumni. If you go to the College Fix website, there's an alumni section. And so we have mm-hmm. had students at Politico. Actually, one of my former students, Dace, is now a regular columnist for USA Today. Mm-hmm. And so that's great. We also have students at alumni that are at think tanks, publishing firms, I didn't say like mainstream news, but I know, like, for example, I have someone who writes for like a St. Louis business, I think it's called the St. Louis Business Journal, Yahoo News. We also have, obviously this is conservative, but center right, but we have mm-hmm. an editorial board member of the Wall Street Journal, and we continue to place people. It wouldn't be uncommon for someone to do an internship with us one summer as, let's say, going to their senior year, and then the next year they get hired back full time. One of my most highest profile, I think, alumni would be Charlotte Waldron, who now is the director of digital media for Vice President J.D. Vance. So we like our students to go into journalism, but I'm not going to complain if we've got some people working in media relations for the vice president.
Not too shabby. Absolutely not too shabby. Well, let's get back to some of these stories that are being highlighted on the College Fix. And this one, I'm glad Sharon didn't talk about it because I wanted to, because this sounds dangerous to me, medical malpractice. The University of Washington Health Center offers abortion pills without ultrasound. Now, Matt, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. But to me, I think that would be dangerous if a woman is pregnant and started taking abortion pills, that if this child is more developed, I mean, that obviously can kill the child, but it can also put her in medical danger too. So give us a skinny on this story.
Absolutely. So abortion drugs can never really be safe because they're intending to kill a preborn baby. Right. But what's even more dangerous is that at the University of Washington, you no longer have to get an ultrasound, you do not have to get an ultrasound at the University of Washington to get abortion drugs. And as you mentioned, you are supposed to get an ultrasound before taking the abortion drugs, to one, because you can't take it if the baby is older than 10 weeks, and if the pregnancy is ectopic, it can be very dangerous. And now let's think about this. So these are college students. So It's not a married couple where they're probably tracking fertility and ovulation and they have a good sense of their cycles. These are college students. So they don't probably have a very good sense of when they got pregnant. I mean, don't know the details, but they may not have the knowledge. Regardless, these drugs can be dangerous for the woman. And so they're going into a health center, which I don't know, might be staffed by a nurse practitioner. They're probably not an OBGYN at the health center. And so there are going to be a lot of problems with this. There's no counseling required in terms of like a lot of informed consent. And that's really dangerous as well, because, so let's just think this through. So a college student takes the drugs, doesn't tell anyone. She goes home to her dorm room or apartment, and essentially it's like waiting out a miscarriage. So you have to wait. You might not have good sense of what an abnormal amount of blood is. So you're bleeding out, your roommates don't know what's going on. And then you pass out on your dorm room floor or your apartment floor. No one's there to call 911. Like, there's all these problems that can happen. But of course, for these universities, they want to be the most pro-abortion possible. And so for them, what's a dead student, right? What's someone laying on their floor? Because they want to support abortion, right? Because they don't want to be protested by the pro-abortion activists. And so this is a serious issue. You know, this is why various groups told us this is essentially medical malpractice. And look, you said you're not a doctor. I'm not an attorney. But if I was a personal injury attorney in Washington, the university is practically begging to be sued when a student takes these drugs from a university employee, goes back to her university dorm, the resident advisors are not trained on how to handle these emergencies, and she dies or has a serious injury, blood clotting, bleeds out on the floor, and is left seriously injured, if not dead. So I think the university is begging to be sued here.
I think, or worse, Matt, you know, because some, as you say, somebody may die here. And I think then it's, you're bringing the law into it. You know, something like that would need to be investigated. And I would think if they found out that these drugs are prescription, right? These abortion drugs, they're prescription. I would think they
in a loose sense of the word, they're essentially over the counter, but yes, I mean, you have to get a prescription for it, but it's pretty easy to get it.
Right. I think whoever wrote the prescription, just like Michael Jackson's doctor. You know, Michael Jackson took a drug, gave it to Michael. It's a drug. Heck, I've had that drug administered to me, but I've had it administered properly. Well, this drug was given to Michael improperly. Michael died, and that doctor faced charges. I think the same thing that can happen. Same thing can happen here. These people that are giving these drugs away to these kids, these abortion drugs, they're something bad is going to happen, and then something bad is going to happen to them. They're going to end up in prison.
In a just world, yeah, absolutely.
In a just world. Well, let's just, we're running a little short on time, but if you've got time for one more article, I'd really like to talk about this. University of Maryland canceled an Israeli doctor's event. Some debate might occur. Well, talk with me about this. Give us the scoop. Give us the information on this story.
So in January, Dr. Ilan Glassberg was supposed to speak to the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Apparently, he's spoken there before. So he's actually a surgeon. He has combat experience, but he's an officer in the Israeli Defense Forces, which, of course, that's not good. You can't be involved with the IDF today on college campuses. And so the Council on Islamic Relations took credit for getting the event canceled. They said their members sent 6,000 emails in opposition. The College Fix filed a public records request that didn't include those 6,000 emails. It actually included the emails from the university leadership. Mm-hmm. And the university said there were safety concerns, but it's fairly vague. And the university never actually said what those concerns were. There were several emails from university leadership, some saying there might be debate, some saying there might be disruption. You can go read this at the College Fix. It's a fairly long article with a lot of the emails we obtained. But this is essentially what happens on college campuses. And you guys probably know this, but this is called the heckler's veto, where you essentially cause a threat of safety, which I don't know if CARE really wants to be bragging that people are scared of them. You think they'd be more concerned about their image.
Right.
Essentially, you cause the idea there might be a disruption. Someone's going to yell. And instead of the university saying, well, we'll add a few more security guards, we're going to warn everyone, if you start yelling, you're out of here, you're trespassing, they decided to cancel it. Now, they said, well, we're going to reschedule it. Well, we've been working with him. And I'll take the word they are doing that. But he's a professor in Israel. So he's not always in the United States. And what the College Fix found out from these public records requests is there was a lot of pushback, as there should have been, from the local Jewish community, the Israeli ambassador. So when all these universities are talking about, well, norms and Trump's going to make us look bad, the Israeli ambassador to the United States wrote a letter to the University of Maryland, which we obtained. It might already be out there, I'm not sure. Essentially criticizing them. It doesn't look good. He was basically canceled because he was a doctor with the Israeli Defense Forces, and some people complained. And so this, incredible. You know, this is the heckler's veto, and it's only going to encourage them to do it again. That's if right. You tell left-wing activists, send enough emails or threaten enough disruptions when you don't like a speaker, the next time they don't like a speaker, they know, you know, they're like kids throwing a tantrum. If the kid knows if I throw a tantrum loud enough, I'm going to get what I want, he's going to keep throwing the tantrum.
Well, you know, Matt, I know that you work for Turning Point, you know, Charlie Kirk. And, you know, Charlie has had several events canceled because of what has college students protesting, demonstrating, and I was hoping that this was finally going to go away. I guess it isn't. But Matt Lamb, Associate Editor for the College Fix. Matt, we want to thank you for coming on the Conservative Commandos. Please tell our audience how they could find out more about the College Fix.
The best way is thecollegefix.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And like I said, definitely check out that Rumble or YouTube for the video series that we have out, as well as other videos. And if you know any college students that might want to give journalism a try, make a little extra money, just have them reach out on our website on the Contact Us page. They could just fill out a form or send an email to one of the editors, and we'd be happy to get back to them.
Matt, as always, we really appreciate you joining us. Take care and God bless.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Sharon.
And you are listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Engel, and I'm Rick Trader. Don't go away, Sharon, and I'll be back with more news and commentary right after this break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest 3-in-1 sale ever. With a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regular $119.98, only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. How about our My Towels? They're finally back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first time and the only time ever, Get our limited edition premium My Pillows. They're made with Giza cotton and designer gusset. Queen $17.98, King's only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos radio show with Sharon Engel and yours truly, Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow studios, the MyStore studios of the AUNTV network. And hey, Sharon, we had a couple of great guests today. Would you thank them for us?
We certainly do. I want to thank Hans von Spakovsky, who is an authority on a wide range of issues and a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Edmund Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. He's also the author of a new book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. And we discussed his article, The Swamp Can Scream, But Doge is on the Lawful Path to Success. It's good to hear from Hans to say, you know, there is not much validity to all of these lawsuits that are now being filed. And he even cited that only 3 out of 23 have had any kind of traction.
Said, the one thing that concerns me is the Supreme Court, John Roberts and Amy Comey Barrett. That's got me real concerned.
Well, I think most people are concerned, probably most especially the president, because he kind of vouched for these. These were his appointments.
Well, Amy Comey Barrett.
Yeah, but not Roberts. You're right.
No, not Roberts, but Amy Comey Barrett was.
Right, right.
And, you know, we fought for her and for the others, you know, we fought for.
I'd also like to thank Matt Lamb, who was our guest. He's the associate editor for the College Fix, and he helps intern media students to get regularly trained, and they write some incredible articles, and we discuss quite a few of those with him. So thank you, Matt, for bringing all that talent to our show.
Well, not only that, as he said, hey, if there's any college students out there that want some experience in writing and could possibly get hooked up with one of the major publications, you know, hey, contact the College Fix. Google the College Fix, but it is thecollegefix.com, but SharonEngel.us, SharonEngel.us. Oh, no, let's go this one. Vote SharonEngel.com.
Well, thank you for mentioning both of those. SharonEngel.us is my personal website where you can get my books, but VoteSharonEngel.com is my campaign website for my run for Secretary of State for the state of Nevada. And we're right now in a big push. We've got about 15 days left to the end of the quarter. And as everyone knows, they get those requests to send donations before the end of the quarter, which is March 31st. And the reason for that being that when you show a goodly amount in your bank account or your website, your war chest, if you will, when you show that amount, it says to anyone who thinks they might want to run against you, well, maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe I'll let her just go forward. She's got the war chest. She's got the desire. She's out early. Let her do the job. And so I guess that would be my appeal in the next 15 days before the 31st, or at least on or before the 31st, if you could just send a donation, that would be appreciated, and it does make a difference.
All right. And, okay, pitch for SharonEngel.us.
Pitch it?
Yeah.
Well, that's where you can You can find my books there at SharonEngel.us. You can also contact me there. You can contact me at the other art website as well. But probably the best way to contact me is when you call our voice text hotline here at AUN-TV.
415-854-2677. 415-854-2677. But for now, we're out of time. That means that we got to run and we got to go. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you tomorrow. That's going to be on TV and on radio.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.